The Senate Judiciary Committee released a report last week providing evidence that President Trump was directly involved in intervening with the Justice Department with the goal of overturning the election and staying in office. The report, titled Subverting Justice: How the Former President and His Allies Pressured DOJ to Overturn the 2020 Election, details Trump's attempts to convince members of the Justice Department to find evidence of fraud where there was none and overturn the election results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you followed this Senate report on the former president's attempts to, in effect, overturn the election? Do you want to see action taken, more investigations? Are you following the House January 6th committee? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions about all of this. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Paul Nolet is an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. He's the author of Federalism on Trial, State Attorneys General, and National Policymaking in Contemporary America. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, this Senate report, now I should say this is the part written by the Democrats on the committee. Republicans came to some different conclusions. What stood out to you in the evidence they presented when it came to the president and his staff reaching out to the Justice Department to take action on the election?
I think the big thing that really comes out of this report is that despite quite a bit of lack of cooperation between some key individuals and this committee, that the committee was able to compile a lot of evidence suggesting that there was some real pressure coming from the White House on the Department of Justice to take action for alleged voter fraud. That was allegedly occurring, according to the White House, in a number of states, and that it really raises some real questions about exactly how far the White House was willing to go in trying to direct the Department of Justice to, you know, to bend to its will.
The Department of Justice kind of stands out when it comes to federal departments in the amount of communication that the president and the president's staff and the department are supposed to have with each other. What kind of barriers in normal circumstances are there supposed to be when it comes to, say, a president or a chief of staff trying to get the Justice Department to investigate anything?
Yeah, and it's a tricky balance because, after all, you know, there's inevitably, I think, some politics to go along with law in the Department of Justice, and a number of these people are, in fact, appointed by the administration, by the president. But nevertheless, over the last few years, particularly after Watergate and the so-called Saturday night massacre that resulted from that, and a number of attempted firings and resignations out of that whole situation, there were a number of barriers that were put up to try to prevent undue political influence from the White House over the Department of Justice. And that includes the sorts of conversations that occurred with one of the key assistant AGs involved in this case, the Jeffrey Clark, who had direct contact with President Trump, in part because Trump saw Clark as potentially being much more amenable to these voter fraud claims. And he had those direct conversations with the president that are not supposed to happen at that level. So a lot of the conversations are meant to go through specific channels to try to prevent this sort of undue influence.
And does it stand out more that it's a White House reaching out to a Justice Department in regards to an election that the currently sitting president just lost and asking them to intervene in a way that might tip the scales back in the other direction?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you put it in the broader context of President Trump going to the media and also claiming voter fraud, without evidence, and saying that this was an illegitimate election. When you put these sorts of internal contacts between the White House and the Department of Justice alongside what was going on outside of that context, you know, it raises some real questions about exactly how far Trump and the White House would go to try to, you know, overturn an election. Or at least interfere with that election. So I think the context is definitely raises the stakes and also raises the concerns about what exactly was going on here.
Talking to Paul Nolet from Marquette University, political scientist there, looking at Senate documents out, an ongoing investigation from the Judiciary Committee, looking at contacts between the president and his staff in the Department of Justice, asking for action to be taken on the 2020 presidential elections. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Now, Paul, Republican members of that committee, notably Senator Grassley from our neighbors, said, what's the big deal? The president floated these ideas. His staff rejected it. A bunch of them threatened to quit if some of these plans moved forward. The president backed off on it. So no problem. What do you think of that that analysis of what we saw there?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, the Republicans are basically saying, look, this isn't a big deal because maybe there were some ideas that were floated here, but nothing happened. You know, at the end of the day, Trump did not fire his acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, like he threatened to do. He didn't fire the U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Georgia. You know, he resigned. He wasn't fired. So all of this, according to the minority report here, the Republicans report, was as much ado about nothing, you know. And I think the portrayal there is to say that President Trump, and before that as candidate Trump and even his previous career in entertainment, certainly made a lot of claims, but didn't always act on them. And so I think the Republicans are saying, you know, sure, Trump said a lot of stuff here, but there was no overturning of the election, and really didn't take action in any sort of, certainly not criminal or inappropriate way. So I think that's what at least the framing of the minority report here was, to really emphasize that at the end of the day, you know, nothing did happen. Nothing did come out of this.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jake is with us in DeForest. Jake, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to bring up,
I
Jake?
I just wanted to comment on, like, you know, I've seen a lot of these quote-unquote bombshell reports that come out, and it seems like it doesn't change the political landscape. I mean, his diehard supporters are pretty dug in. They either don't believe the evidence or they don't care, whatever it takes to win. And his opponents, you know, aren't surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised at all. So,
Jake, thanks for the call. His opponents aren't surprised. His supporters ignored or don't care. Paul, what do you think of that analysis?
Yeah, I mean, I think with these sorts of investigations, you're going to have there's going to be a partisan take on these. And really, even though partisanship is worse now, perhaps, than it has been in the past, this is often the case with investigations. I mean, Watergate was seen as a partisan investigation at the beginning as well. I do think that one of the big things that comes out of this report, and it's important to emphasize that it's an interim report, mm-hmm. so there may be still more to come with more investigation and more interviews. But I think it's important to think about how this might set the stage for the future. I mean, after all, a big reason why nothing ended up happening and the Department of Justice didn't go along with this was because many of them threatened to resign if Jeffrey Rosen, the acting AG, was replaced by Jeffrey Clark, who was seen as more of a Trump ally. Now, let's say that you didn't have people who were threatening to resign and instead said, hey, this is a great idea, Mr. President, go ahead with it. Let's carry this out. Then there's a, you know, that could have happened. And we would be in perhaps a different place with all of this. So it's really kind of setting the stage for the next time and wondering about how we might prevent the sort of undue influence we don't want to see the president have over the main instrument of justice in America.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Paul Nolet, associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. We're talking about the Senate Judiciary Report on Trump administration attempts to overturn the 2020 election results using the Justice Department. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see more investigations, hear more testimony from key figures in the Trump administration? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Paul Nolet, Associate Professor and Chair of the Political Science Department at Marquette University. We're looking at Trump administration efforts to overturn the presidential election results leading up to January 6th. Still time for your calls with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Back to your calls. Troy is with us in Muskego. Troy, hello.
Hello. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say it kind of feels like, you know, if there's any other person, you know, plotting the way Trump was plotting with all these people and what these reports are saying, you know, but because he didn't go through with it, if it's anybody else, that'd be considered like a terrorist attack almost. But just because, you know, like when they bust these guys before they do it or they catch them while they're planning it, it just seems to me like, well, if you wait till they do it, you don't have a you don't have a democracy no more. You don't have a system. That's how Hitler got into power. You know, it just seems to me like any cult leader can basically plot to, you know, overturn an election, overturn like a coup. But unless they actually go through with it, you know, they can get away with it. And then when they do go through with it, that's how you end up with the end of your country. I don't.
Troy,
I guess I don't understand why there's no checks on that.
Troy, thanks a lot for the call. And Troy, I think other people do share his concern. Paul, do we have checks for the next effort if a future president, maybe the same president if he's reelected, tries to do something like that again?
Yeah, and I do think that that is the big thing to come out of this report, and something that the report was trying to get across was, what do we do for the next time? And one of the things that they note is that even though there are some barriers, some of those barriers that I mentioned that came out of the Watergate investigation, there to try to put a barrier between the White House and the Department of Justice, you know, those barriers aren't as strong as we might have thought, and maybe they need to be stronger. So one thing that comes out of this interim report is to say, well, even though we're not recommending any criminal charges at this time, at least, we want to make clear that there were inappropriate connections between the White House and the Department of Justice that really need to be addressed, because if this happens again, then maybe you won't have those people to stand in the way and be the barrier between overturning an election. So it's really, in some ways, even though it's recounting what happened on key days like January 3rd, and some of the conversations between the DOJ and White House officials, it's in some ways it's forward looking, saying, hey, we need to strengthen these barriers to undue political influence.
Thanks for the call, Troy, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Margie now in Milwaukee. Margie, hello.
Hi. I think I have a similar comment to the last caller that, you know, if the FBI is investigating some sort of group that's planning a terrorist attempt, they don't have to bomb someplace. If they find it with all, you know, all the trappings of making a bomb and things on their computer and blah, 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 it seems like there's a lot of bomb-making equipment here as far as evidence for what Trump's group was planning. And you take that into consideration with all the other things, like his contact with Georgia and his contact with other states, it's just too much to ignore. I don't understand it. It's very disheartening and downright scary because it was so close to working.
Margie, thanks a lot for the call. You mentioned, Paul, the Senate Judiciary Committee in this report said they're not recommending charges at this time. There are some investigations I know going on at the state level in Georgia. What are the thoughts that someone or more than one person might face legal consequences for these efforts?
Well, I definitely think that it's possible because, after all, there are federal obstruction of justice statutes that do carry criminal liability. There's also this longstanding act from 1939 called the Hatch Act that prohibits governmental officials, even if they're appointed and they're, you know, political appointees, it prohibits them from trying to affect and influence elections. And so there may be some criminal liability for those involved here as well. And so
this report, this interim report, didn't recommend any criminal charges, but it's certainly not foreclosing those either. And, you know, one point I think on the last callers as well that's important to remember is that, so the key moment in this report was this three-hour meeting between DOJ officials and Trump on January 3rd. Of course, keeping in mind the bigger context, we did have an attack, you know, on the Capitol just 3 days later, January 6th, which is the subject of a separate investigation. But I think one has to keep in mind this full context of what's going on in American politics in the last days of the Trump administration to really get an appreciation of you know, how dangerous some of these moments may have been.
Margie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to political scientist Paul Nolet from Marquette University, looking at a Senate Judiciary Committee investigation, a preliminary report out looking at the ways that former President Trump and his staff tried to influence the Department of Justice to challenge election results in states around the country. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Paul, coming into the morning of January 6th, there are two pieces of big news: the Georgia Senate elections, and then just from a few days earlier, the recording of the then president's call with top Georgia election officials. Did some of the shocking nature of that, those attempts to overturn the election in things like that phone call, get overshadowed and fell out of the limelight because of the obviously shocking events of January 6th?
I think a lot of them did. I mean, the call was really quite shocking. And it also aligns with a number of the findings from this report as well, because even though, you know, that phone call was leaked and got out to the public with Georgia election officials, there were similar conversations happening internally between the White House, like the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, for instance, and Department of Justice staff, including that the acting AG, Jeffrey Rosen, and others. And I think connecting all of this was this narrative that the White House was trying to push, which was that there is this fraud all over the place and the entire election is illegitimate. And I think President Trump was kind of, you know, using that message in a variety of different venues, some targeted towards Georgia officials, some targeted towards the Department of Justice, some targeted towards his supporters. And I think that's, again, why we need to look at the broader context, because I think in many ways it paints a picture of a president who was not happy that he had just lost election and was trying every avenue possible to try to stay in power. And that really raises the question of how can we prevent a situation where, you know, unlike this situation, essentially an attempt to overturn the election is successful in the future. How do we prevent that?
Time for one more caller. Tim is with us in Waukesha. Tim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask Professor Nolet if he thinks actually the failure of political parties in Congress has led to a lot of this rattle and hum that we've experienced. If so, how have they failed?
Interesting, Paul. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think because of the way that partisanship works these days, there's an incentive to essentially never criticize your own party or members of your own party, or at least keep it to a minimum, knowing that, you know, you have to keep the attention always on the other side and saying how horrible the other side is in order to keep, support for your side up. And, you know, thinking back to Watergate in the 1970s, again, that began as sort of a partisan or seemingly partisan investigation, but a number of Republicans eventually came on board as more evidence came out. It seems like in this day and age that it's a lot harder for party members to break out of that. I mean, we saw what happened with Liz Cheney, for instance, who was a critic of Trump and voted for impeachment and such. Now she's pretty much out of the party altogether. And so I think there's a sort of discipline within the parties that, you know, is in its own way kind of dangerous, because it prevents sort of an internal conscience within the parties to check maybe the worst impulses of the partisans within it.
Thanks a lot for that call. Paul, in just our next couple minutes, we have the Senate Judiciary Committee investigation. We have, you mentioned, the House January 6th committee. What are you watching for? What are you most interested in finding out that we don't know at this point from these ongoing investigations?
Well, I think, you know, there's still a lot of missing gaps here. You know, key individuals like Mark Meadows, Jeffrey Clark, they haven't been cooperating with the investigation. And of course, you know, the former President Trump has said, hey, nobody should agree to work with Congress on this. So I am curious. I mean, the big thing is going to be whether anyone does sort of break down, I guess, and say that they're going to work and provide information to Congress, because I think that's a critical part of the data collection effort here, and is really going to be important moving forward as these go together. So that's certainly the big thing I'm looking for, is whether anyone voluntarily works with Congress, or whether, you know, courts start ordering people to comply with subpoenas that Congress is issuing.
Paul, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
All right. Thank you.
That's Paul Nolet, associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. He talked to us about the Senate's ongoing investigation of Trump administration efforts to pressure the Justice Department to overturn last year's presidential election results.